Okay, let's get started. I know Josh and I think his son got engaged. Josh, I think.
Oh, wow.
The one that was here?
Josh Rockland. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to come tonight.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Rabbi Zitter just had surgery. He's okay, but he just said, Rabbi Zitter. It's over there. Okay. So we'll start. Whatever comes after, we'll come afterwards. This week, Bez Hashem, we laid Parshas Korach, and most of the Seder is certainly the narrative portion of the Seder deals with the rebellion of Korach against the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is understandably extremely hurt and taken aback. And not only that, but he's angry. It wasn't the first source. Vidbar Perak Tezayin Pasuk Tezor Vayicha LaMoshe Ma'od. He was exceedingly angry. The Torah speaks of strongly. Very angry. And therefore he said to Hashem, unbelievable, he said, Al Teitan El Minchosom. Don't accept any of their offerings. These people, Korach and his cohorts, don't accept any of their offerings. Because I didn't do anything wrong to them. I never harmed them and they're starting up with me. Don't accept any of their offerings.
Sounds like a
Cain and Hamel. Yeah, so Rashi says there in the second source, Perkazan plus it says, well, Yichel Moshon, Mitzar Adla Ma'od. Again, strong language. He's exceedingly anguished by this. Now, what does it mean, Al Teifin Al Minchasim, don't accept their offering? So Rashi says, Al Pipasus, it's talking about the Ketores, because that was going to be the test, right? All you, Korach, and all your followers, and Aaron will also take Ketores. And so he says to Hashem, don't accept theirs, accept Aaron. But then, the Hamedish Omer, listen to this, Yodei Ani, Sheyesh Lam Chelek B'tmidim, B'tmidei Tzibur. Every Jew had a Chelek in the daily offering. We just learned this morning, it was Chodesh this morning, so we learned about the daily offering, right? As a kemes achotos of boker, they say kemes asheri teis tasim and arbaim. Right, you have to bring the korban tom in the morning. Korban tom, they have to do what? Every Jew has to come into the base of mikdash every day and bring a korban. Certainly not. One korban was brought on behalf of all the Jewish people. Everybody had a chelik. Right, you give the machzor shekel. We discussed on the piss. Every Jew had a chelik. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, I know that they have a chelik in the tefillin of the Jews. Af chelkom lo yukabel lefanecho l'ratzon. Let their chelek not be accepted. Their chelek in the daily carbon. Now, in plain, simple language, Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to punish these people. That's basically got angry. And he said, don't accept their offerings. Don't accept their carbonus. Don't accept their tefillahs. They're terrible people. Not only that, but a little later in the Seder, in the same paragraph, starting in Pasuk Chaf Ches, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu sets up the famous test. Right? Here's how you'll know that I'm telling the truth. Right? Here's the test. If these people die a natural death, nothing unusual happens to these folks, then you'll know that I'm a person here full of belonging. God didn't send me. But in Pasuk Lamed, v'im bria yivra Hashem. But if Hashem makes a new creation, ufatus adam es pia, and the earth will open up its mouth, so to speak, uvalo, someone will swallow them up. Right, that all their possession, everything, they'll all go to the grave alive, they'll be swallowed alive. Then, v'yidatem ki ni'atzvan Hashem ha'eles Hashem. You know, these people have angered God, right? So Moshe, but that was a test, yeah.
So, I heard a question this week.
Yeah.
My brother's graduation. Someone asked a question, why was him and his followers were killed in such a dramatic way?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so.
So here, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that's a test. But you ask whether they do deserve that.
No, but does this invalidate the question? Because here...
No, because it says just... Well, in a certain sense it does, but in another sense, why does Hashem listen? Right? Why does Hashem... And Moshe seems to be setting up this test.
Right.
Said, but it really leads to...
That's
the question. That's part of that question, maybe. But what's interesting, it really does what I want to say, because Rashi says, looking for Rashi, v'imbriya chadosh, right? A new thing will be created. Meaning as follows, what Moshe Rabbeinu is basically asking Hashem to do this. That's how it's the next Rashi, Yivra Hashem. Meaning, Rabbi Hoseinu Pishul, the second part of the last line of 4, Imbriya, Pel Aretz B'Sheish Mabreish Mutav. If such a thing, the earth opening its mouth, exists in the universe, if there is such a thing, sort of like an earthquake, but not exactly, well, okay, good. But if not, the Imlav, Yivra Hashem, you do this, Hashem. It's basically, and this relates to that question, Moshe was asking Hashem to do this to them, right? If there's no, such thing doesn't exist, I don't care to create it. So for our purposes, it's a good question, but because in a certain sense, Moshe was asking God that if even if such a thing is an abnormal phenomenon, never heard of such a thing, there wasn't such a thing built integration, I'm asking you to do it anyways. And in fact, Moshe was asking this to be punished. And I can ask you a question, why did he deserve it? It's a good question, not for right now.
Does this invalidate that question? Because it didn't happen because it is something so terrible.
Which that happens, sounds like it happens because Moshe said so.
Right.
I'm saying so. It's a good question. I think it's a good question. Why did Hashem go along with it? But I think it still is a question. There are different answers, but maybe not for right now. I want to focus on the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu here was basically davening and asking Hashem to punish these people. So it's very interesting. You're looking so far, the Alkut Shimoni.
Bakasha,
okay. I mean, Bakasha, he was requesting on Hashem. Okay. I was saying davening in that sense. So you look in source 5, the Yalkut Shimon, the Medishin Parshas Chana, it's remembered as Tof Chof Alam. Parshas Chana, as you might remember, is when Moshe Rabbeinu has been told he's not going to the land. So he davened. It's a recap. He learns next week, said Jechukas, when he's punished with the rock and the whole thing. But he doesn't go into the land. So he davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu with many tefillahs. And finally he says, according to the Medrash, source 5, Amar Lefan of Kol HaKafis Alam, why are you so angry at me? You know, what did I do? It was so terrible. You don't let me go into the land. So what I mean, the story with the rock, you didn't sanctify my name. Again, believe me, that messy parshas chukas. So Moshe answered, according to the Medrash, Amalo in Kolabriyas of Yisai, with this rock, Mishnayim, with Shosh HaPamim. Everybody else does something wrong, you give them a second chance, a third chance, what about me? You know, I did one thing wrong? It's a stunning Medrash. No, you've done already quite a number of things wrong. Hare Shisha Avonos Nitzubacha. There are six things you did wrong. And list them all. And one of them is this. Ibriya Yivra Hashem. You asked for these people to be punished in such a terrible way. So we see from this message that Moshe was held accountable. It was wrong for him to request, we'll call it davening, call it pakasha, whatever you want to use. But it was wrong. And according to this message, Moshe was punished. One of the reasons Moshe was punished, aside from the hitting the rock, okay, Moshe was told that, guess what? This was the wrong approach to take.
So it's interesting. I'll get rid of them for you.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, but he's waiting for Moshe to bargain, and he does. Moshe comes to the people's defense. Yeah, you could argue that it was the whole people and so on and so forth, but still, according to this approach in economy, Moshe would have made a mistake here. That's a simple reading. He's held accountable for davening for the, I entitled the Shia, davening for someone's downfall. Right? He davened for the destruction, the demise, and the suffering of these people. So it's interesting, there's a Gemara in Bracha 6. Zayin Amid Aleph, the Gemara Baruch says, it's interesting Gemara. The Gemara there writes, not the next week, says it was 2 weeks, Parshas Balak. You know, Bilam was hired to curse the Jewish people. So how did Bilam not curse the Jewish people? So one thing the Gemara says was, he was able to calculate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at exactly one specific moment every day, and he was able to figure out what that moment is. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Amos Rasach, I don't claim to understand how this works, but the Gemara Baruch is Zayin Amid Aleph. The Amos Rasach, when is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry? Amar Bai, Behanach Tos Shah Kamaisa. Sometime in the first 3 hours of the day. Because Baruch has a moment of anger. And now he says, and I really don't understand this, but so he says, Ki chivra karbalosa tanagola v'koya chad kara. Something happens to the, what do you call it, the back of its rooster's head with the crop, I don't know, it's something, you know, the back, it's red, and it turns colors, that's how you can tell somehow that the Kosher wrote anger. Now, why that isn't how you tell, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? It's always like that, but sometimes there's different types. Again, I don't go into all that. You can look up the Gemara, it's unusual Gemara, and I don't really understand that there are physical symptoms in its rooster, but whatever it is. But the Gemara tells a story on the second line of six, that's what I'm interested in now. Hahum Mina, there was a certain heretic, who lived in the neighborhood of a Shuvan lady. He caused him a lot of Akmasavir. This heretic was badgering the Shuvan lady. Bikroi. He was always quoting Psukim. He says, from your Torah, this is no good. He always had a kind of from a Pasuk, you know. He knew Tanakh somehow. And he quoted that the God's not the real God. And that maybe means he was a Christian. Whatever he was, exactly. You always have to worry if he mentioned the past. When these Gemaras talk about a Min, means a heretic. Is it talking about a Christian? They just cleaned up the language because they were afraid of censors. You know, when the Gemara was first published, like all publishing had to be cleared by the church. When the printing press was invented in the 1400s, so that all published works had to get the clearance of the church because they don't want people disseminating anti-church material, which eventually people did. But in any event, the Jewish works, a lot of times when you see Gemaras about Christianity, they said, it's a min, a heretic. They said, well, we weren't talking about the Christians, we're talking about the Jews who were heretics. Sometimes they were. They mention sometimes Tzeduki, which is a sect of Jews. So you have all these Gemaras, you know, you have to figure out who it's really talking about. But anyway, so this person was bothering the Shimon Levi. So he was so fed up, this guy was making his life miserable. It says, come at Sarah too, really. Bothered him all the time. So Yom Achad, he took a chicken, and he put a chicken into the house, and he said he's going to watch this chicken and see when that color changes, which means that's the moment that Shimon's angry, he's going to daven to curse this guy. Kimata, he shy to altiye. I'll watch the chicken. When that moment comes, and again, it was a different time every day, but when that moment comes, somehow you can tell from the rooster, again, I don't know how that works, but when that moment comes, I'll curse this guy to leave, you know, he'll leave me alone. But Kimata, he shy to naim. And when it dozed off, Shimon Levi fell asleep, so he missed it. So Omar, last line of six, Shema minav lav arachar, but obviously, because it's not proper to do that. Obviously, that's the wrong way to behave. Okay? And after all, doesn't the Pasuk say, V'racham avakoma, so the print in source 8, we know that Pasuk is in Asher, right? Tilim kuf mem hei, that's Tov Hashem lakol, V'racham avakoma, so the part, right, he said, this person was another fellow Jew. Okay, he was a heretic, he was a troublemaker, he bothered Hashem later, but still, you should curse him, you're going to figure out the moment Hashem's angry, you're going to curse the guy, that's not proper. V'racham avakoma, so curse for his mercy and everyone. Not only that, we'll see another Pasuk, where ends and ends on and on. Yeah, gam anos latzadik lo tov. That's the Pasuk of Mishay Paragazan, Pasuk of Avam, so it's not printed there. Gam anos latzadik lo tov. Even when a rosh is punished, it's not good for the tzadik either. It's not right that a tzadik should pray for the punishment of somebody else. That's consistent with the story about Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash held Moshe Rabbeinu responsible, even though these Korach and his cohorts were harming him and causing him arguments effort. You don't pray for the demise of somebody else, yeah. Yeah, good. So that's the Tosis there. Tosis to the next page. Tosis in source 10, Zainab and Aleph. Dear Raskahu Tzeduki. So he talks about the Tzedukim, but he says in the second Girsa, it says someone over the Kachavim was a guy. So that's a question. Okay, that's a question. But anyway, because Tosis deals with that. Tosis deals with the fact you're not supposed to save him if he's in trouble. So I don't really want to go into that now. But Tosis brings up that issue. The truth is, though, look in the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Mem Tes on the base, 11. Basically, I should say what Tosis says, because the Gemara says elsewhere that if you have a tzduki of this type of person, so you don't have to save him if he's in trouble. And you're even allowed to throw him, Moridim El Malan, right? You can throw him into a well, whatever, down a pit somewhere. Okay, but that's a person can take the action he needs to take. I mean, they shamayim, but it's not your place to tell God you get involved. I'll keep my hands clean. God, you punish him. That you're not supposed to do. You do what you have to do, okay, especially if there's a court, but you don't tell God, you know, well, hargav v'dei shamayim. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, I did it with my boys in school. There's a shulchan aruch, but kids are bringing down, they bring that. You can't pray for anyone else.
Right, so the Gemara Shabbos Kuf Mem Tes Beis says, V'amar v'yakov reyde bas Yaakov, kol shechavero nenash al yado, if somebody else gets punished because of you, a machnitzin or semachitzin of Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can't come within the mechitzah, so to speak, of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu don't want such people. If someone gets punished because of you, we have Kadosh Baruch Hu not interested. How we know Manolam? So Gemara has a few different proofs. And finally, it brings our pasuk, that same pasuk. Anos l'tzadik, lo tov. It's no good. Okay, and another pasuk, until in Perek Hey, pasuk, Hey, kilo, kachavetz rasha, atal l'gur. Okay, you don't want to be with that. Kadosh Baruch Hu want to be with such a person. So, Iotzim and Reina so far is that indeed it's not right to, I don't know the kids had it specifically, but it's not right to someone else get punished because of you. The more famous story is the Gemara Brachas of Yudam and Aleph. That was of Zion. Look in 14 Gemara Brachas Yudam and Aleph, more famous story. Hanu Biryone de Habishus, their mayor. There were Biryone. Look at Rashi there in 15, the translated Biryone as Pritzin. You know, lowlifes, basically. You know, there are certain lowlifes who lived in the neighborhood of Rebbeir. And again, back in 14, they have a Kametzara Latuva. And they were bothering very much all the time. They made fun of him. They started up with him all the time. So finally, have a Kaboy Rebbeir Rachmel Rakiyechid Lemusu. He couldn't take it anymore. See, Davin, they should die. These people should die. So Omrele Bruria Devisu. Rebbeir had a wife. Bruria was very knowledgeable and learned woman. So Bruria said, what do you mean, you David, they should die? My daitcha. And of course, she quotes the pasuk that we said this morning in Baruch Hinam, which was Chodesh, right? Tilim Perak Kuf Dalet. It says, we shouldn't see Yitamu Chatoim, right? Miksiv Chotim. Does it say in the pasuk, the sinners, Chotim, the Eshri pasuk says, Yitamu Chatoim. Okay, Chatoim. And I usually, at least when I first learned it, most people learn what she's trying to say is, the sins should go away, not the sinners. See, it's not really a correct translation. But for right now, Yitamu Chatoim min Haaretz. That's right, that's Per Kuf Dal Tilim Pasuk Lamedei, right? 16, again, from this morning's Shushayom. Yitamu Chatoim min Haaretz, Shomar Ram, Rochinash, Shomar Wukha, right? Yitamu Chatoim min Haaretz. Okay, you have to hold that 16 and we'll come back to it. But Miksiv Chotim Chatoim Ksiv. And what is the ode? She said, furthermore, Shvila Sefi the Kor, look at the end of the Pasuk, Urshom Ode Einam, and there won't be any more Urshom. So says the Rebbeir's wife, wait a minute, it's a double language. What do we mean, Yitamu Chatoim min Haaretz, Urshom Ode Einam? The sinners will disappear, there'll be no more wicked people. Well, obviously, if the sinners will disappear, there'll be no more wickedness. So, no, Ella, what does it mean? Yitamu Chotim, not Chotim the sinners, but Chatoim the sins. Well, instead of davening they should die, boy, Rachel Ravai, do 100 b'tshuva. David, they should become better tshuva. David, they should become better people. Then, Urshayim or Iran, Sataki won't put him over Urshayim. They'll do tshuva. So, boy, Rachel Ravai, 100 b'tshuva. And that's what happened. David, they should do tshuva. So, that's the famous exchange between Rebbeir and Bruria. Her point being that it doesn't say that the sinners should disappear, but the sins should disappear. Again, it's not a fully correct answer interpretation. Rashi is sensitive to it. In 15, Rashi and Brochus, again, it's Brochus Yudam and Aleph. Rashi is sensitive because he talks about the word Chatoim, how it's punctuated. Nikut Patach, okay, so you read it Chatoim. We'll come back to that point, okay? And the same thing appears in the Medrash Tilim, there in Mizmor Kuftala. The Medrash Tilim is called Shochato in 17. And that's a discussion between Yudam and Chemim, but for us, tells the whole story. Mayor Havalei Haumina tells the story of the mayor and his wife, and again, because he dominated, they should do tshuva, the Hadar B'tiuvta v'tshuva, but also show up Baruch Hinash Yis Hashem. Okay? Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger, on the side of the page in the Gilyon HaShas, and his Bekiyas in 18, says, first of all, look at Tainus Chav Gimel Beis, which we will. V'zorah Kodosh Parashas V'yer V'medrash Hanelam V'parsha HaMechas Hanem Yavram. So I'm not so well-versed in Kabbalah at all, but Rabbi Kiva Eger sends you this. I printed it in Source 19, the Zohar. It's called the Medrash Hanelam in Bereshis Parshas Vayera. Kuf Hayam and Aleph is the page. So the Zohar, again, I would have known this is not for Rabbi Kiva Eger, but Rabbi Kiva Eger's look at this. He says, listen to this. Omer Rebbe, mitzvah lola adam lispara arishayim kideish yachzul mutav. It's proper for a person to daven for a wicked person to do tshuva, become a good person. But if you look at him, they won't go to Gehenim. Quotes a pasuk fine, and the second line, "V'amar Rebbe, also lola adam lispala al b'shoyim she's talking olam." You can't daven, and that they should disappear. And the Medrash says interesting. The Baruch Zohar says interesting. Shilmoi Sokol. Let's say Kadosh Baruch Hu would have punished Terach, the father of Avraham, who was an idolater. He would have taken him out of the world. Shilmoi Sokol Kadosh Baruch Hu Terach min olam because you owe it to Zohar. Lo bo Avraham, it would never have been an Avraham Avinu. Right, if Terach would have been punished. So again, you know, something good can come of it. That's what it says in the Zohar as well. It's all consistent, the same thing. The Rekiva Eger also says to look at Tainus Chav Gimel Beis. I printed that in Source 20. Tainus Chav Gimel Beis. Okay, the Gemara tells a story about a certain Rav and his wife had a greater divine sign than he did. The divine cloud rests on her more so than him. So Gemara asks why. My time according to Salik Anana Mahak Zavisa the Havikal Kama Devisa Lumar, that soon is how come the cloud of representing Hashem, you know, sort of shown or rested more on your wife than on you, basically he's asking. He says, Mishum the Itsa Shikha Bebesa. Because a woman's usually home, right? She's not Rashis Koyoma. In those days women didn't go to work. So the woman's usually home. And we an ani comes to the door. We have a riftalini or makarva hanayasa, right? She's able to get stuck, a poor person out the door. She can right away give him a piece of bread. But I'm not home. I'm at work, so I write out a check. Meanwhile, you know, until the check gets it, the mitzvah isn't done for a long while. The women who are home give the poor person the bread right away. He gets benefit immediately. Whereas me, it takes time. That's one answer. Okay, not our issue. But now the inami in the middle of the second line. Again, this is Tainus Chav Gimel Beis, inami. So it's a similar story. Hani Biryone, David Shulson. This Tano, this Amara also had the same problem with a certain Biryone. Okay, certain trouble. Rashi here defines Biryone not as Pritim, but as Burim. Biryone, like boors, ignorant people. Ame Aretz, you know, like ignorant people. They'll bother him. I know, by Rachmi Del Musu. I, David, they should die. But my wife said, no, but he, by Rachmi Del Hidu Betiyufta. She was misspelled, she should be Chosim Betchuba. And Rahadu, they did. Okay, so a similar type of story. Okay? Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, 22. One more story. Rav Zera had the same problem, I guess, with all these people who started up with the Rav Hanum. It says in Dehanu B'yonei Dehavi, here Rashi says both. B'pritzim and Lashon Burim. They were lowlife, they were boors, whatever, again, those kind of people. Hanu B'yonei Dehavi Shuz Rav Zera. But Rav Zera's approach was to have Mekarav Lehu. He was Mekarav them. He befriended them. Ki Hechad and Elevit Nehedru Lobit Shuz B'tilta. This is the Tshuva. So Reb Zera was reached out to them. He was nice to them. He, spoke to them. And Rahab Kapta Rabban, other Rabbanim, annoyed with him for taking that approach, working with these guys. Now, today also like that. There's certain people who go out, and they reach out, and they do outreach, and so other people don't want to. And nothing new. Kinoch Nafshe Reb Zera, when Reb Zera died, Amrei, these boors said, Adha in till today, Havichricha Kotten Shaked, Haviboyal Rachman, this rabbi, Reb Zera, Rashi explains, was a short person. Gutzi is very short, okay? And not only that, but his one, the Maisa story, his feet got burnt once. So they referred to him as the short rabbi with the burnt feet. That's how they called him, the short rabbi. That's it. Until now, the short rabbi with the burnt feet, he prayed for us. Hashta man barba, who's going to pray for us now that he's dead? So you know what they did? Harhubali barba of the tshuva. They did tshuva themselves. So that was Reb Zera. I remember when Reb Shlomo Kalbach died. Great. So I was at the Levaya. They had it on 79th Street. That's where the Kalbach Shul is to this day. So they closed off 79th Street. So I went to the Levaya. It was very interesting because you saw every which type of Jew there. I mean, Mamish, you had the Hasidish people and Yeshivish people and modern people and people without yarmulkes and people wearing this one guy who was wrapped up all in white. I don't know what he was, you know. All kinds of, like you see in Yerushalayim, all kinds of unusual people there. But there was a couple of black men there who came, who were not, obviously not Jewish, and they were saying, our rabbi's dead, who's going to talk to us? Because he would talk to the people lying on the street, the homeless people, Jew or not Jew. So these two people were saying, our rabbi's died. So that's what Abzeri was like. But anyway, so the David, they should the children, not they should. So, in fact, the Gemara says in Chulin, Tzadik Beis Zonov, 24, the Gemara says that the Jewish people consist of a lot of different types, like a Geffen. Morris says, Amashur Lokish, Umazu, Rashi says, Yisrael, 25, the Jews, Anim Shaluk and Geffen, Psukim, they're compared to a grape, the vine, grapes of a vine. And a vine, you have clusters, and you have the, I don't know what they're called, but the thing, the branch that it grows out of, and tendrils or something like that, some name, all the different pieces of the grape. So different Jews represented by different types, right? The Eshkola Shabbat, Tamarach HaChamim. And these things are some, you need all of them. So everybody plays a role. That's the basic idea of that Gemara and Chulin. So, up until this point, what emerges is that it's not proper to daven for the harm or the destruction of anybody else, or certainly any fellow Jew. Okay? You should daven, they should do tshuva, you should mekarev them, like Abzeria says, but don't daven for their demise or for their downfall. Okay? What stands against us in all of this discussion is the fact that don't we have a brocha in the Shemoneh Esrei that we say three times a day? Then we say pretty strong language. We ask that all the informers and all the heretics and all the that they should be punished. Because brocha should break them and harm them. We say the brocha every day, three times a day. So what's going on? Now, as you may know, that brocha was in fact not part of the original Shemoneh Esrei. That bracha was not part of it. That the Gemara says in brachas Chav Ches Abayis 26. Hani Tam Nesore. Tam Nesore is Aramaic for 18. We call it to this day the Shemoneh Esrei, right? But we all know, you do a count, you come up with 19 brachas, not 18. So why do we call it the Shemoneh Esrei? The answer is because it used to be, originally it was 18 brachas, but Amar Levi, this brachas Haminim, the one extra bracha, B'yavne tiknua was instituted much later, as Rashi says in 27, La'achar zman meruba. B'yavne tiknua. Most of the tefillahs and brachas we have are instituted by Anshen Kesagadola at the beginning of the zman by Yesheni. But years later, they added this bracha into the Shemoneh Esrei called the Birchas Haminim in Yavne, after a long time. Now, the Gemara says, and the Gemara tells a story, Tanar Rabbanan, Shimon HaPakuli, his Shemoneh Esrei brachas, his name Galil, Alaseh B'yavne. Originally, Shimon HaPakuli, Pakuli Rashi is a cotton salesman. He was in the cotton business. So this Shimon HaPakuli organized the brachas in front of Rabbi Gamliel. in Yavne. Amar lehem Rav Gamliel lachachamim, Rav Gamliel petitioned the other chachamim, klum yesh adam shodeh l'sakin berchas aminah. Is anybody here who can make a bracha, you know, to counteract the heretics and so on? At that time, it was a very difficult time for the Jewish people. You know, there was a lot of, first of all, not long after the Churban, and it was exile, and it was the rise of various sects, including Christianity. That's when Christianity is coming up, and the followers of Jesus, and Essenes and other sects he studied about. So there were, so Rabbi Abrocha, that there was about these people. And this gentleman by the name of Shmuel HaKotten, Almer Shmuel HaKotten Vatikna, Shmuel HaKotten instituted. So we added this bracha. That's why they're 19. Answer the old name sticks. That English also, right? The names of products sometimes stick, even if it's not the product. Certain product was a brand name. Band-Aid was a brand name, right? But Kleenex is a brand name. Okay. Frigidaire. I mean, we were young, and everyone called it refrigerator. Frigidaire. Frigidaire is one company that made Frigidaire. The biggest example, I think, is Xerox. It became a verb. Xerox, a company, became, I want to go Xerox something. Right? So, yeah, many things like that. A lot of these things in other languages, right? I'm just saying, there's a company name. But anyway, be that as it may, it's the same thing. The old name was from essay, so it stuck, even though they're 19, huh? Cornflake. In Hebrew, all right, yeah, okay. Okay, so I'm sure someone on the internet can get a list of all these things. But be that as it may, in a certain sense, that's just what I say. So good. Now, by the way, the Gemara in Megillah, about the Yitzhanim Beis, tells us, it's a similar to the Mark of Brachas, but it has something else. It's, you know, what's the, we have 18 Brachas, now 19. Why are they in that order? In other words, why do we have first the Bracha of Chonor Hadas, and then Tshuva, and then Tzlicha, and then Rifaino? So the Gemara in Megillah works out what the order, the Brachas, it's not a random order. The Shemana says it's not a random order of Brachas. Based on Psukim, everything fits in. So the Gemara says in Megillah Zayin Beis that after the Kevin Shniskabtsu Golios, right, after the Bracha of the Kabetz Nilchemo Yisrael, the ingathering, the exile. So then we have Nasa Din Rishon. And it quotes a pasuk like that. After that, the Kabetz Shinasa Din Rishon. After that, so then there's no more wickedness in the world. That's we put in Kalo Aminim. No more Aminim. And after that, you know, the Tzadikim, Allah Tzadikim, Allah Chassidim, right? So it's all based on Psukim. Okay, and as Rashi points out, these are all Psukim that appear in Perek Aleph of Yeshaya. I printed the relevant psukim in source number 30. Parak Aleph in Yeshaya is read on Shabbos Chazon, Shabbos for Tisha B'Av. So it says there, Ashiva Yadayach Alayach, V'etzoch Kabor Sikhav Sikhav Dolayach, and look at Pasuk Chavon, that's the exact text of the Bracha came out. V'ashiva Shoftayach Rishona, Yotach Kivatchila, right? More or less, that's the text of the Bracha based on that Pasuk. Then, Tzion, the thing is, Haftarah ends at Pasuk Chav Zayin, so Pasuk Chav Ches is not well known. The Haftarah stops at Siyam B'mishpat Tipara V'shomer B'tzalka, but the Haftarah, the Navi goes on. There's another Pasuk after that. The Sheber Posh V'chatom Yachdav Ozer Hashem Yichlu. The Ozer Hashem Yichlu. Those who abandon God should disappear. So that's why the Birchat Aminim is put where it is, right after the Bracha, you know, of Ashiva Shoftena, because that follows the order of the Psukim. Good? The Rambam summarizes this. Parak Beis, Mehilchos Tzvila, Halacha Aleph, 31. Bimei Rabbi Gamliel, Ravu HaPikorsim. In the days of Gamliel, there were many heretics. Yisrael Bahavim, Metzirin Yisrael, and they caused trouble for the observant Jews. Umasisin also, Losh Machre Hashem, and tried to convince people to abandon the Torah and the Mitzvah Hashem. The Kevin Shirash Zugdul Mekol Tzachman Adam. We all saw this is a terrible thing. It's even worse than, you know, needs for Parnos and so on. So we got to talk about this as one answer. Amar Hu Beis Dino. So Rabbi Gamliel and his Bezin got up. Hiskin Brocha Achas. Shetia Bo She'elam Ifnei Hashem. La'abed Apikursim. Because of the Tzila. They put this in Brocha. There's Shetia Aruch L'Bivyakol. So that everyone will know this Brocha. Nimsu Kol Brocha. We see what Tzashvei Brocha. That's why it's 19. Okay. So what do you see from this? You see that in this bracha, we ask for the destruction of these people. Isn't that a direct stira to everything we said in the first part of the shir, where Moshe Rabbeinu was held accountable for dominating for the destruction of Korach and his people? And the Gemara brachas of Zion, you know, with the people who are causing trouble for who was on Dav Zion again. Rishu ben Levi. And then the Gemara brachas of Yud with the mayor and his wife, the whole discussion. and so on, Meir and Bruya, and the other Gemara, the Bzeir, and all the other people. So it's, we say they're not supposed to, supposed to try and daven, they should do tshuva. Well, you daven, they should be destroyed. Yep, we say this block every day. Let's see. Okay, different answer. Let's see. Okay. So I just want to point out the tour. Rachaim Simon Kuf Yurches calls this bracha. He lists all the brachas from Esrei. So number 12, 32. Source 32. Yud Beis, number 12 is Kill us, Hamashim. That's what he calls it. Kill us. It's cursing the Hamashim. That's what the bracha is. It curses the informers. And he explains why it's put there, as we explained already, because it fits in with the psukim there. And then he says, because it has 29 letters in it, 29 words, rather, in this bracha, corresponds to the fact that they deny the whole Torah, which has the 27 letters in Hebrew. I'll tell you the 22, but the end letters, sofits, right, the end letters, mem nun tzari pei l'chof, sofits, there's five more, so 27. They cofer all 27 letters of the Torah, and Torah Shmichzav, and Torah Shmapeh, brings it 29. Okay, fine. Anyway, bottom line is that it's called Kilolos. So, what's going on here? So obviously we need to understand that there are times, evidently, when it is appropriate to pray for the destruction, and a lot of the Rishon Rachonos, we tried to figure out what it depends on. You know, as a general, we don't do it, but sometimes it is appropriate. So it's interesting, as you are in Pesach and Mem Testament days, listen to this one, 33. Amar Belazer, Am Ha'aretz Mutal L'Nochro B'Yom HaKippur Shecholos M'Shabbos. You have an Am Ha'aretz, you can cut him up, you can stab him, even on Yom Kippur, even on Kippur on Shabbos. You know, it's Yom Kippur and Shabbos, you can kill a guy on Yom Kippur Shecholos M'Shabbos. So, you know, it's a strange Gemara. It's hard to imagine it's meant literally, but it shows you, you know, when you thought of an Amor, it's a Tosas Diem, Psachim, Abzes Mabez, 34, Dimas Ish Omrim, says, V'nira Lari, Dileel Mayer, B'makir, V'kofer Lahachis. Who are we talking about here? The guy's Amor, it's what, he doesn't know how to learn? So you can kill him on your kippah? I mean, again, maybe an exaggerated statement, okay, but still, why is such a strong statement just because the guy's Amor? I mean, okay, there are a lot of Amorites around, you keep going killing them. And even it doesn't mean literally, but still. So Tosa says, no, it's talking about Makir, people who know better. But Kofer Lahachis. They're Lahachis. They're trying to anger because they want to show we don't care. Right? Then, that's like Pikuach Nefesh, he says, because the truth of the matter is, they're going to come after Jews and so on. That's what Tosa says. The Rosh in Psachim says similarly, Paragimel Simon Yud in 35. Okay? He says that these are people who go after, run after Averis, right? Ratz Achar Azochar, Mishkav Zochar, or Achar Nara Morosa, to rape women and so on, and all these things. So then you can act even on Yom Kippur to save lives. We call Nefesh, right? So the Rosh is, why does it say only on Amoritz? The Talmud Chacham does the same thing. Why on Amoritz? Yeah, Amoritz is more likely to do it, and so on, so he doesn't care. Anyway, the idea is that, and this is perhaps one answer to our question too, what type of people are we talking about davening against? Is it somebody who's a bummy guy? Or is it somebody who's mamish lahachis and he's trying to harm Jews and stuff? So from this Gemara here, you can see a little bit that there are different types of Rishon. There are different categories of Avaris, different categories of wicked people. So that's why I quoted these Gemaras. I just want to point out for full disclosure, the Ran on the next page, Chedush Ran, the Yom Sacha and Mem Tesem Beis, the Ran says, the Gemara is an exaggeration. Not allowed to kill them. Okay? We're not allowed to go around killing people, even if they're not nice people. Look what he says. Vavada, second line. Vavada, the lam dafke. She ain't domos amarts most of the day. We know the lives of amarts are not in our hands. The other, a hog and egg, you kill somebody, you're not me a murderer. And let me talk, she's son of the amarts, megazim in Baham. They exaggerated. You know, it doesn't mean. And there is what? In his Chiddush Mesachim, and Tazmi Zuan Samarit, says, why they exaggerate? Just to teach people lessons, a didactic tool that people should see how terrible they'll stay away from them, right? Chazal said you can even kill them in Yom Kippur. Not really. It's shock value, exactly. Sometimes you say something that's, whoa, you know, don't mean literally you can do it, but they're just trying to give in that, that idea. So that's how the Ritzvah says it's a guzma, right? Megazmin. It's just an exaggeration. But still, it gives you what the, through the thought of them. Now, the Meiri, right, so the MM Testament 38, he says these are people who don't care about mitzvahs and they do averes and so on, okay? But the difference in that, is that they give in to the Yetzer Hara all the time, but But again, you have to know when it's appropriate, when it's not appropriate. That's how the Sosemis writes there, and that Gemara Memtes Amez in Psachim in 39, he says it's exaggeration, but he says the difference is a regular person starts to do something, you can talk them out of it. There's certain people you can't. So again, what am I showing you all this for? There are gradations. There are, you know, there are certain times appropriate, certain times when it's inappropriate. Okay? The Maharal Miprag, in the Sefer Nesivas Olam, Nesiva Torah Perek Tezvot, quotes this Gemara, Amar Velezer, Amar Tzmuto Nachorim Kippur Shechalos B'Shabbos. By the way, I should tell you that I remember once I looked, I couldn't find it, but it's somewhere. I've shared it in the past in Shurim. The Brocha L'Malshinu against people who are Omaser, who give other Jews and their money over to the government, you know, and that's a terrible thing if it's a non-just government and so on. And apparently a certain community, I can't remember that, my head is not working, but I can't remember, but I remember reading about it even several once in this year. There was a certain community in Europe somewhere where it was a person who was known that he massed people to the government, and he caused a lot of harm and a lot of damage to a lot of Jews. And he showed up in Shul Kol Nidre night, Yom Kippur night. Reuben Margolis tells the story, so I just don't remember who the players were. But he came to Shul Kol Nidre night, and the people were so taken aback. This person dared to walk in the Shul after all the harm he did, and never apologized, never tried to say now. And they took him on Yom Kippur night, Kol Nidre night. They took him, they wrapped him up in his talus, and they tied him up in his talus, and they took him out and threw him into the river. And he drowned. He was wrapped up in the... and the Rav of the Shul said, because of a neder, of a shura, he said, nobody is to say a word about this to the authorities in Saudi. Wild story. And this person was a rodef. I mean, he was a rodef. He caused untold harm to many, many people. But again, I'm not talking about vigilante justice and all that, but they were rishoyim, and they were rishoyim. You know, I'm not, you know. But in any event, so now getting back to our issue, so actually the rishonim already deal with our problem. If you look in source 41, the Rav Yoh, one of the Rishonim, Elazar ben Yoel, the Rav Yoh and Brocha Simon Tesva, he says there's a difference. He calls it Tfilah L'Mishumadim. See that at the end, Tfilah L'Mishumadim. The two lines there. He says it depends what the situation. What was that Gemara? To go ahead and try to calculate when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, right? And then you're going to say, that's when I'm going to curse him. That far we don't go. But Stam a Tfilah, like you said, a Bakosha, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, okay, that's okay. That's the Baruch Hu says, okay. You're not telling us, you're not calculating when. You're saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, give this guy what he deserves. You know what I'm saying? That's okay. That's what the Baruch Hu, he calls Tfilah Meshumadim, is all about. On the back, in the next two sources, the Parish of Tfilah Tzah Brochas, there was a Rabbein Yehuda Bar Yochor, was one of the Rebbeim of the Ramban. So he wrote a work called Parish HaTfilah Tzah Brochas. Unfortunately, it's not on the Bar Ilan, but I have it, I pinned it in the very back page. And also Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam, Sefer Maruch on the Rambam, and that Rambam we saw before, Hechot Tzvila Perek Beis, Halachalat. So just, you can switch to the left, the very, very back page. You can see it inside. I'm not going to read all the inside. But you see the Parish of Tzvila Baruch, the Baruchar, he asked our Kasha. He's talking about the Shemoneh Esrei on page Memtes, the very back page. He asked our Kasha, what do you mean they have a Baruch of the Malshinim? What about that Pasuk? Gam Anos L'Tzadik Lo Tov, right? It's not good that someone else should be punished. So he says, number one, Hainu Dafka L'Oncho Behechrech. That's where you know, you calculate. Remember, you figure out when Hashem's going to be angry, and you know, that you can't do. Okay? But the Davin Stam, okay? So you don't know the Yitzchil is going to be accepted. Because Baruch Hu, basically tell Kosh Baruch Hu what I'd like you to do, well, you decide. Right? The person's really innocent, deep down is a good person. Kosh Baruch Hu decides. That's allowed. Yep.
That's all it's like.
Even a specific person is only a general thing Hashem punishes. Instead of calculating what time Hashem's angry, general tefillah is okay. Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, we didn't answer Moshe Rabbeinu yet, but in a Hanami. You know, Moshe, when he goes to say it's more general. I don't know, but Moshe was not. He was more specific. So we have to understand Moshe a little better. But in terms of, then he goes on at the end of that piece also, he speaks about there's also a difference when you're talking about what you were saying. You're talking about Malchus. Some people have actually the text in the Bracha Malshinim, Malchus Zadon. I think that this was why they're saying Malchus Zadon Hera. Right, someone with their government policies against the Jews. He's speaking about a government. He's speaking about a, you know, people, not Stam people. but people have real power to cause harm. So he said that's also different. Right? Some guy's bothering me, a private guy's bothering me, that's one thing. But a Malchus Adon, when it's a whole government against the Jews, that's different. You know, so it also makes sense. Then on the Rambam, Rabbi Manoach says something else. Okay, Rabbi Manoach says, it's not Stam Torah. Rabbi Manoach is a parish in the Rambam, in the Frankel Rambam edition. It's printed on the page of the Rambam. It's not in the Bar Ilan, on all the sections of the Rambam. So here it is, on that Rambam, Perek Bezil, Chatzil Al-Khalif, Rabbi Manoach says, same question, Tomar, four lines down. Naski bracha, shouldn't the why do we say a bracha malshinim? We should have a bracha, they should do tshuva. Right? So, right? But like Bruce said, they're mayor. Okay? So he says, no, v'yei shlomar, the kavanas ha-bracha, she yichars min ha-olam, b'shman she yirtzul ha-tziz Yisrael. No, they're trying to cause harm to other Jews. Okay? They go to other places. They're trying to cause harm. It's not stam that they were bad people. In other words, the distinction he's making, they weren't stam Rishon. What was their mayor or Shimon Levi? They were bothering him personally or causing him harm. Right? The fact that my next door neighbor doesn't observe Shabbos, doesn't keep kash, I don't know what davin says that the person should suffer. But when he's causing harm to others, chav lachrimi, that's a different story. Almost. Right, like a road day. If we go back to the case where I mentioned before, this master guy who master everybody. That's another difference, right? One thing a person does bad is that he's not Amora, it's not a firm Jew. Okay, so then I should try him in the caravan. But somebody's causing me personal anguish and suffering, that's a different story. Let's go back to the sources. Okay, this is the rush. Yeah, it looks like that. But even mental anguish, because the first guy was bothering him, not physical, but could be. Could have the distinction too. Could be a distinction. Korach was not physical. Korach was not physical. We didn't answer Moshe Rabbeinu yet, but in any event, you take a look in Tosa Rosh and Brochus Yudabarav, source Yudabarav 44. Okay. So here's where we come now to a little bit of grammar. Okay. Like I said before, many people study that Gemara, and I think that what Bruri was telling the mayor doesn't say chotim, it says chatoim. And most people learn it doesn't mean the sinners, it means the sins. That's inaccurate. Part of the Lahavda is the Christian. What was the expression? Love the sinner, but hate the sin. No, something like that. No, love the sinner. That's not exactly what it says here. He says, because the truth of the matter is, you have to look back for a second at 16. That's where the pasuk is, 16. The pasuk is Tilim Parakuf Dalad Pasuk Lamed Hay. If you have a city, you can look at Baruch Enafsh, we said this morning. Notice how Chatoim is spelled. Yitamu Chatoim, there's a dogish, there's a dot in the test. Now, when there's a dot in a letter like that, we don't see a big difference. This is among Ashkenazim, right? It's not like a bays and a vase where there's a different sound, or a chof and a kof, or a tof and a sof, whatever, right? Chatoim, now the people who are medactic in leaning, you'll hear the difference. They'll say the test hard, chatoim. So certain people are correctly medactic when they say kriyashma, when they lay. So it really says chatoim. So it's interesting, the word chatoim as plural of chait does not have a dogish in the test. Chait, chatoim, does not have a dogish in the test. Okay, chatoim says that the Tosa Rosh and grammatically also means people who sin. People. So that's not what was going on with Bruria and Rameir, because the way most people usually learn that Gemara. And that's what Tosa Rosh says again. He says, Afagav da hainu nami chotim bevav. What's the difference between chatoim and chotim? There is no difference. Chotim means sinners. Chatoim spelled the way it is in that pasuk with the dogish in the test. Okay, and without a chatov patach, just a plain patach, as Rashi alluded to there in Brachos Tavyud. Okay, so because the whole local chatov bechatov patach. So what's going on? So the way the Tosa Rosh learns it is mikol mokum the shami kovid uvalokasam chotim bevav yesh ledarsha loshan avonos. She meant the way we learned the Gemara. It's not really the word chatov also means sinners. Why didn't it just say chotim, which is the more common word? They both mean sinners, but chotim is the more common word. So the Rosh writes, from the fact, the Bruri was saying, from the fact that it didn't use the more common word, but a somewhat rarer word, chatoim, to refer to sinners, there's no doubt. Otherwise, what? Rameir also knew what the word meant. I mean, the way many people learn the Gemara, what's he telling Rameir? It doesn't say chotim, it says chatoim. The way we learned it, the way many people learn it. It doesn't say sinners, it says, oh, Rameir didn't know that? Rameir didn't know that it didn't say chotim, it says chatoim. Rameir knew what it said. Okay, so how did he make that mistake, right? How to point out to him, it doesn't say chotim sinners, it says chataim sins. What, the mayor didn't know that? The answer is no. Both words mean sinners. So the mayor was right to daven for the destruction. What Rebura was trying to say was, since the pasuk used an unusual word, chataim, which could be understood to mean sins, that gives you open for the drasha. There's a drasha that takim, it doesn't really, it means the sinners. That's what he says. He says, below cause of chotim above, yesh l'darsho lashon avonos. You can darshan it as referring to sins. That's what he says.
Because it's also used with the verb gitamu. But that's kind of saying cleanse the sinner. Or purify the sinner. Now it could be...
I'm not sure if grammatically will make a difference. I'm not sure.
Okay,
but the point is that the word chatam, now others take it in a different direction than the Rosh. The Rosh said that since it says chatam, which you couldn't learn, means since it's a drusha, she was basically saying a drusha, not in terms of a parsha pshat. Now, first of all, the Biryonim, okay, they were listim, they were thieves, they were, you know, ruffians, so to speak. That's what he says, okay? And now, but how could he daven? Look at the top Rosh, and this is what we're saying, top of the next page, still in source 44. How could Boy Rachel and Musa, how could Rameir daven, they should die? Alpha Gav, Darmin, Gam, Arush, Tarek, Lotov, right? We have the Pussy, you're not supposed to daven, because what was Rameir thinking? Shem, Ahel, Mitzaren, also Yosem, he died. They were too much. They went too far, like I said before. They were, oh, Shem, Rishon, Yosem, they were wicked people. They were just across the line. Okay, and the Meira really says that there in Brochus also, Daf Yudam and Aleph 45. Talmud Chacham says, "Sho Ezim and the other Mitzarim lo ain royal lekalam. You should not curse him. Eli Yisparim Shachz B'Tshuvim." That's it. However, when we call Malkum, but Yez Dorim Sho Rashay Aleim lekalam Lachim Alas Kumoshes. There are certain things you go too far, and so on. Like we said, a couple of commentaries in the Rambam, the Ma'aser Rokech. That's not the Rishon, the Rokech. The Nachon Ma'aser Rokech, and not Rambam Hilchot Parak Beis Halachah 46. Okay, same question. What do you mean? I thought you're not supposed to. So he said, he tells the whole story, the Mayor and Bruya and so on. Okay, so he says. Where is it now? Shaduch. So he says, "B'shayni hacha shomasisim esir halasa me'achre Hashem." Look and go back and look in the words of the Rambam. Okay, when Rabbi Gamaliel decided to introduce this bracha, the Rambam is back in source 31. Okay, look what it says. He went stam rishoyim. Look in 31. B'mei Rabbi Gamaliel. Ravu apikarsin isov ahu matzila umasisin osam loshem achar Hashem. These are pikkur of machtes harabim. And by the way, that might be what the word chatoim means. It's talking about people, but it's not just chotim. Chotim means what? I'm a sinner. Chatoim means not the plural of chet, but the dog is that doesn't mean that. It means sinners, but they also try to get other people to sin. That's the idea. Machtes harabim. Chato. That mafil in the Hebrew grammar, mafil caused other, causative, whatever, it causes others, right? There are chatoim, they cause others to sin. That's a different level. So basically, if you say like that, what Brewery was saying, you know, about those guys, she was saying these guys are not chatoim, they're bums, they're low, I don't doubt they should die. It doesn't say chotim, it says chatoim. They're not trying to, the people in the neighborhood of Reb Meir, it doesn't say they were trying to convince a mayor not to believe in God. They just badgered him, they nudged him, they made fun of him, or whatever. So what Brewery was telling Reb Meir was, it doesn't say chotim, it says chatoim. These guys aren't in that category. They're just lowlifes, you know, they're kids or whatever, they're stupid, but they're not, you know, you follow? So, but when you have, like the Maaser Keh says, chatoim, like the language of the Rambam, they're trying to get Jews to violate, then that's a different story. The Divrei Yirmiyahu also, Yirmiyahu Lo, that same Rambam, I quote the Rambam and so on, he says the same thing. He says that basically, you know, certain people do tshuva and so on, but some people, they come to a point that they're past being, so to speak, being able to tshuva. Comes to mind Paro, right? We always ask the question, why did Paro get punished? It sounds like he kept willing to be giving in. He's ready to give in. And it says Hashem hardened his heart by the last few makas, right? So what's going on? He's ready to give in Hashem. The answer is he wasn't really interested in giving in, right? He got beaten up so many times. Okay, I give up. But it wasn't, so Hashem basically let him do what he really wanted to do. So that's a certain sense here also. Okay, so that's how these commentaries are. The Marsha also, and Brachos Yudim Beis, is also that he learns Chatoim, the Chotim Havel Shem HaTohar, Havel Chatoim Mashra Gam Shem HaTohar, and he brings Psukim that mention it. He says, don't think Chatoim means sins. The way many people learn that Gemara is not correct. It doesn't mean sinners versus sin. It's two different types of sinners. Okay? He says, there's some people who do so many sins, that takes over their personality. And we see that from our study. Guess what? Here in Parshas Korach 49. You're right here in Parshas Korach. At the end of the whole story, right towards the end, Parag Yud Zion, the first two psukim. After these 250 men with Korach brought their fire pans, the machtos. So they offered their incense and then they were all consumed by a fire. Remember? Before the earthquake. So what did they do with these metal pans? The Torah, you know, they put on the mizbeach. So that's what it says here. Ever Elazar ben Aaron Akhon v'yorim tzalam ben Aseva es Ezra halaki kodeshu. And look what it says in Gimel. Es machtos ha-chatoim ha-ele. These chatoim, these sinners. What do you know right here in our parsha? The word chatoim, yitam chatoim, with the dogesh in the test. With the dot in the test. It doesn't mean sins. It doesn't mean sins here. It means these sinners. Their metal fire pan should be used in his mizbeach, and that's what happened. Okay, so you see that the word chatam or the marshal is the beginning of Tillim, first parak of Tillim. Asher yisha shalom ad bahatzos shalom of a derech chatoim lo amad. Right, they didn't hang around with the sinners. So clearly it means sinners. Right, that's how Rashi here in Korach says. And plus the gimel parak of Zion, a chatoim ele shenasu poshim and afshosam. Chatoim and afshosam. What is Rashi hinting at? Perhaps what it means is, and that's how some of the Achorim write, but it means they became such sinners. Okay, either Chatoim can mean those who are machti, but now we're suggesting something a little bit different direction. Chatoim means people that the sinners characterize who they are. There are some people who are chotim. We do have eris. Sometimes we do bad have eris. But that doesn't define who they are. That's why they don't keep Shabbos and only kosher. It's not a good thing. They're chotim. But the other people who their averes define who they are. You know, it's like, I remember, you know, Rav Soloveitchik once said, we usually say someone's a lamdan. A lamdan means a person who, he said, it really means a person who learns. Okay? We use the word lamdan, he knows how to learn. Oh, he's a big lamdan, he knows how to learn. So Rav Soloveitchik said, you know, a gazlan is not someone who knows how to steal. Right? A gazlan who does steal, right? That characterizes who he is. He's a gazlan. So a lamdan is someone who does learn, not just Tommy knows how to learn, right? I mean, he knows how to learn too, but he does learn. That's the point. So sometimes, yeah, so there's a long, according to Marshal HaChachm, Shalom HaBrachos of Yud, he also, he says, you have to read the Chatoim, the same as Chotim, it's Derech Mafil. He's the one who mentions that. Mafil causes others. Machtis HaRabim. But the Maharal Prague and the Ber HaGola, Ber Shvi, Perek Vav, okay, in 52, the Maharal Prague, the long piece, I'm not going to read inside, but he also mentions, he goes through the whole different types, you have time to read it, what Chatoim means, okay, we're showing he works out all the Psukim, and some people come to a point where they can't really do Tshuva, he mentions Paro, right, they've gone so far, with the sin characters, how can a person not be allowed to do Tshuva, how come Paro was deprived the ability to do Tshuva? Again, he says, because there comes a point where a person, you know, has gone too far. And that's the Pnei Yoshua there in Brachos in 53 says, on Daf Yud, all that same Daf. He says, sometimes you have people whose Yetzer Hara has completely taken them over and so on. They can't come back. The Tzlach from the Rebbe Yehuda has a different interpretation altogether with the Meir. I just put it in for the interest in 54. He says, what the Meir was mispalo was totally different. He was mispalo, they should die. Yeah. He says, because they should suffer an Olam HaZeh, so have a better Olam HaBo. The Tzlach is, it's also an interesting take. Okay? But the long piece also, huh? Benefits. They're all pleased with the benefits, yeah. And that's not the Poshup Shad, it seems to me. But anyway, the Sefer Emes Liakov, that's from the author of the Nesivis. Rabbi Yaakov Loberbaum, who wrote the most famous work, I guess, the Nesivis on Choshe Mishpat. Also the Derech HaChaim and the Chavis Da, it's a very important song. But he's known, I guess, in the Tzos and the Nesivis, you know, so he's in the Nesivis. His parish on Brachas, he has the whole thing where he goes into great detail about where a person becomes characterized what he does. He quotes the pasuk from the second paragraph there from about Esav Kitzayed Bethiv. He was a hunter. That characterized who he was. Okay? Take a look and we'll just see the third paragraph there in 55. It's from the third paragraph, the top and the bottom. In 55. Ulezek, he should be Kesher Meral Hanu Biryon de la Musu, They weren't so rooted in chait. That's what Bionei means. They're boors. Again, lowlifes. Okay? So then, Shapir Amarle Dvisa. Then his wife was right. Miksim Chotim Chatoim Ksim. Right? They're not such horrible people, these guys. I know they're giving a hard time. They're bum guys. You know, they're not. They're the lowlifes, but you don't tell them they should die. They're not that terrible. He quotes in the last paragraph, the Rambam, the Mar Nebuchim, and others, the Baal HaKedah, that sometimes there are people whose sins, are there, he quotes like power, that their sins would take, almost like their Bechira gets taken away because you know, that's how they define themselves that way. And now we come back, really, and that's what the Shagazari points out in 56, the Gurus Ari. They're in Tainus Chav Gimel Beis with two different interpretations. Remember in the Gemara. Remember that's the Gemara where the wife was zocha to the divine cloud more than the husband. So they gave two reasons: one, because the wife gives tzocha directly, and the other one is because the wife she davened they should do tshuva, and he davened they should die. Right? So which is the correct approach? We don't know. But the Shagasari writes that's the point. That there are the two interpretations, and that's really this question: do these people, you know, people deserve to die or not? You know, so that distinction won't work if the people they were talking about deserve to be punished. And he was right that the time of the demise. So he said it could be two opinions in the Gemara. You know, what's going on there? So in any event, and that's why we have a different interpretation of what's meant by Brionim. I quoted the Shuvas Miltzachus in time. Anyway, you get the idea. So it seems to me that there are two different things. Number one. Okay, what is your role? In other words, in determining whether you can daven, what is your role? In other words, are you, you're davening the demise of this person, the downfall of this person. Are you a direct victim, or Klal Yisrael as a whole is a victim? Then you can daven. If it's just that the person is badgering you, you're upset about it, and so on and so forth, then you can't really just daven for them to perish, unless the type of people that are so far beyond and so on, they become chatam. We have turned to two interpretations of chatam. Again, it doesn't mean sin. It's not the plural of chait at all, the way some people in the Gemara. It means chatam. Either means because they're machne zarabim, and there are such people in Taka, we want to get rid of them, or chatam are people who they're so, that it characterizes so much who they are. Okay, with that approach, we take the second approach, that's what probably was the case of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu David, that's how the Moshe Rabbeinu davened for the destruction of Korach and so on, because as the pasuk says, machtos hachatoyim ha'ele, felt they'd gone too far, and they were too far gone to, you know, to benefit from they should daven, they should do tshuva. The time that you asked before, the times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Jews by the Egel and other cases, and then Moshe Rabbeinu leaped to the defense of the Jewish people and said, no, they're not so far gone yet. They're savable. We can do it. Here he felt that it wasn't. I'll just end by pointing out the Karakemach, that's Rabbeinu Bachya, Rishon Rabbeinu Bachya, and his encyclopedic work on Tefillah, and also, well, the works on Tefillah, the entry on Tefillah, encyclopedic, the entry on Tefillah 58. He says another bracha, Birchas Aminim, another angle of the whole bracha altogether, is you're not talking about anybody being destroyed. You're talking about your Yetzihara being destroyed. Right? That you want to limit it, to weaken the Yetzihara. Okay, and the truth of the matter is that maybe talking about Minas Hadin, could be that you're talking about the Yitzhar in yourself. Never mind about Mal Shinim. It could be it's all a parable. Okay, maybe it's talking about Nichlo Zachnos Yitzhar Shvodam Shemichlal Oidim. That's an enemy of Kali Rov. Yitzhar is the enemy, so you're putting down. You're not trying to die. The neighbor should die. You want to dominate the Yitzhar should go away. So these are different interpretations as to how the Bracha of Mal Shinim. So what it means is how we reconcile that with the Gemara. Okay.
So you can still push him down the steps.